So, like, in...
That's not how you do it.
How do you do it?
You have to get your head turned.
You did it the other day when you did like three in a row.
I don't know, there's a lot of hard work.
Hello, listener. I've been waiting for you, my dear. Welcome to the Haven of Bliss podcast. Take me, I'm yours. Put me in your pocket and listen to me on your iPod as you show me the world. Subscribe by adding www.havenofbliss.com/podcast to your iTunes. Click advanced, and then click subscribe to podcast, and then enter www.havenofbliss.com/podcast to have our show streamed directly to the podcast folder. It's so easy. And now, back to the show.
A merengue band in Sears Tower. The summer bazaar going on, as I told you earlier, every Wednesday for the summer. That's all in the Sears Tower entrance to the sky deck. There's all kinds of places with beans and beads, and I like the merengue band a lot more. A lot of clothes, I think Tracy would like this stuff. And got Bob Dylan in the background over in the Washington Mutual Tower. At least that's what I think it's called, because that's what it says on it. Gotta love this city. Sears Tower. This is why it's Haven of Bliss podcast. I just feel a ringing between my ears. I am so fried. I've been working for about 10 days straight. The last 3 days I've worked 12 to 14 hour shifts, and I can't see more than a meter just because I've been staring at my screen for so long. So, hello. This is Wyatt, and I have something for you. I want you to listen to some music I have. I know that most people don't like this kind of things. Maybe you'll just reconsider after I share a little bit of things like this. So, I have some opera music that I'd like you to listen to. Like this. So I'm going to go through a few that are my favorites. Just like this one. Comme j'ai vu l'amour, l'amour. Like Carmen. I have a couple more, but if you hold on, I'm going to try it out for you. So, the first one I'm going to show you is from Die Zauberflute, which is the magic flute. This is by Natalie Dessay. And so this is the Magic Flute by Mozart, one of the very good beginning pieces, kind of like Rigoletto. She has a very crisp tone to her, as opposed to some of the other ones I'm going to show you next. Okay. The next is the Pearl Fishers. O Fond du Temple, the Temple Duet. Yeah. Okay. The next is the flower duet. This is from Lock Me. It's two sopranos. Well, the last one was two tenors. Okay, now is another piece from Carmen, as you heard when I started. Habanera. This is one of the most popular Carmen pieces. Carmen is also a French opera. The epitome of the diva. Okay. Now we have Don Carlos. Here's another tenor duet. This is French also. Opera House, which is also a very place in Austria. Now here's Lucia Popp, a very popular soprano in her time, in Risolta. Song to the Moon. It's known as the Cherry Duet. Luciano Pavarotti is very famous. He's known for doing six high C's in one performance. It's very challenging for a tenor. Probably the most famous modern tenor. Continuing with another favorite opera, most people like Rigoletto almost as much as the Magic Flute, and I'm going to play a little piece from that. Here we go. La Donna Immobile. La Donna Immobile, qual più bel vento. Famous for her rich voice in Largo. She's also very famous, like Pavarotti. You can contrast her to Natalie Dessay from The Magic Flute, which I played very first. There's a lot more layers and depth to her voice. It's much more mature. Some people, when you first listen to opera music, you really appreciate the perfect pitch of like Natalie Dessay. Each note is so sharp and perfect. But as you like listen to more opera, you grow a little more tired of that, and you become to appreciate the depth of music like this. Although, commonly, most of the operas are about political scandals in the royal court and people being persecuted, or about thrifts between lovers and all kinds of unethical things, opera can still be a very spiritual experience, because maybe the content is wrong, but because it's in a foreign language, you don't always get the meaning that lost in translation to be cliche, and you just are left with the beauty voice, the beautiful music that are left, and this creation that God has given us. The amazing depth that the human voice can perform at its apex, the magnificent orchestration by the symphony, and just that combination of the symphony and the conductor and all the people singing in beautiful talents, and the duets and the trios and all kinds of things you see that come into opera music. And it can be very like emotional and powerful to you. And I agree, but once you learn the story, it can take away some of the things. Like, Carmen was one that used to be my favorite opera when I listened to music, like Les Voici, which was amazing piece that I thought. But, like, after I had come to learn the story, I actually put Les Voici on in the background as I talked to you. And just thinking of the choral movements. Like, not all opera is just a tenor or a soprano. You have a chorus of people singing many of them. I mean, most of them are tenors and sopranos, mezzo-sopranos. I saw Manon Lescaut, and they had a countertenor, which is basically a tenor, or a male lead, who sings in the soprano octave. So he sounded a lot like a soprano, which was really interesting, but it was a very beautiful set. I never heard a countertenor before. But all the operas are this grand production. Maybe I encourage you to go see an opera. If you were to start out and you have never seen an opera, I'd suggest either Rigoletto or The Magic Flute. A lot of people like Carmen, but I don't like the story as much. I saw Faust, which was also interesting. The music wasn't quite as beautiful, but it's much more a Christian opera. I'll see if I have one more. If you hold on. Here's another one from Nabucco. It's called the Chorus of the Hebrew Slaves. It's another one that isn't soprano, but it's also a very beautiful performance. Because the chorus. Sometimes it's easy to pick up an opera collection. If you go to like Barnes & Noble and you look at for popular ones that I've mentioned on one album, or popular artists like Lucille Pop or Joan Sutherland is another one that's very famous, and all sorts of other ones, but here comes the Hebrew Slaves. Segment, so you can see some vignettes of the opera music, and maybe you'd be encouraged to go see something at the Lyric Opera, the Joint Opera House, or the Metropolitan, or the San Francisco Opera, which are like the main famous ones in the country. And someday that you'll grow to appreciate it, which, you know, takes time. So, I'm going to move on with the podcast. And I hope you enjoyed it. I'm right next to the Sears Tower in Washington Mutual Building, and they're two of the tallest buildings in the Western Loop. And there's the Summer Bazaar going on. You can hear Bob Dylan in the background. Everyone's out in lawn chairs and reading books and eating lunch. It's summertime in Chicago. I'll let you listen for a second. Sounds of the Summer, every Wednesday throughout the summer, Chicago. It's not so bad. It's cleared up today. Smells good. It's a good cookout, looks like. Oh, we got chicken and burgers. It's pretty good. Basic sandwiches, fries, some hamburger, and everyone's hanging out. The little styrofoam sitting in the grass, basking in the glory of the almighty power. Oh, look, the sky deck. Maybe I should take a little picture for the podcast. And that's it for now. Hello, I'm Wyatt. It's very nice to meet you. How do you do? That's nice. Tell me how you're doing. No, I really want to hear. Why don't you just go ahead and say, I'm doing okay. Or, I'm not doing so well, Wyatt. I'm having a hard time. Like me. Yep. That's okay. Everything's gonna be okay. That's what I'm telling myself right now. Whoa. I just got off the L, and I feel like going through a stroll through Cabrini Green. I don't really want to buy any drugs right now. I don't think I need it. Just some sleep would be okay. Something's wrong with me, because all the trains are going the wrong way around the loop. And I think it's spinning. Spun me around and spun up the loop. And, you know, kind of like when you spin on a chair and you spin too much and then you're about ready to fall over and hit your head on the floor and stuff. Yeah. Oh, what happened? So, I got off the train. Went the wrong way around the loop. If that's a good way to put it. I noticed that the trains, there was a pink train today. There were several pink trains. I usually ride the purple train, but the purple train was going the wrong way when I got on it. So I got off the train. I'm walking, because I'm not near my stop. And it took a long time. I talked to the man with the uniform, and he said that the connector was having problems. So that it wants to go this way, but it won't. So it goes the other way. But sometimes it does that, he said. Oh, yellow light. So, yeah. Now I'm downtown Wells. And it smells like tobacco or reefer. And I felt dizzy still. Anyways, I was eating dinner earlier. And sandwich shop in the West Loop, and I have to close my eyes so they stop spinning. And I just like was staring out the window at the people walking by and imagined that that I saw myself next to me sitting on the bench, because there was no one else in the benches except me. And ooh, maybe I'll keep walking. It's pretty funny idea, because would you like to meet yourself? I mean, if you were you, but you've also met you, such that you could talk to yourself and, I mean, you weren't talking to yourself, but you were talking to yourself. Kind of like how you would talk to your father or your son. Except it's you. Like, how would you like to have a dialogue with yourself? Maybe from when you were a teenager. If you're older than a teenager. Or maybe when you're in elementary school. If you're in high school. Someone younger. Or vice versa, if you're now old. Would you like to talk to yourself when you were young? And what would you say? I mean, wherever you are, listening and sitting to this, I'm walking down the street in downtown Chicago, so I'm not sitting, but I will be soon. Just because if I don't sit down, I'm going to fall down. I'm so dizzy from anything. And imagine that there's a stool empty next to you, or a chair next to you, or if there's nothing like that, someone standing before you, and you look at them and you see yourself. Kind of like, have you ever seen a reflection in a double mirror, such that you see what you actually look like? I mean, not the inflected way, because we look at ourselves in the mirror and it's backwards. It's transposed, so the right is the left and left is the right. But like in my apartment, there's a mirror in the bathroom and there's a mirror on the door so that when I open the door of the bathroom and I look, I can see an odd reflection in the mirror of myself. And I can look and see, like, my back or the side of my face when I'm looking the opposite direction. And things don't line up just right. And I realize it's more like a real person there standing rather than just this empty image of myself. You know, this superficial mirror mimicking my smiles back at me in the looking glass. Why do I always talk about the looking glass in Alice in Wonderland when I'm about ready to have a nervous breakdown? Do not follow. That's what I need on my back. Just like the back of that flashing car. So anyways, you got this person sitting next to you that's yourself. I mean, think of it as you will, as you are now, so that it is you there. Just so that you're not confused, to start and say the younger version of yourself. That someone 5 years younger than you, you yourself 5 years younger, were sitting there. What were the things that you would tell that person? And what would that person tell you now? Because we always think, oh, what would I tell myself if I could redo it? But then again, we become more creatures of habit and more lazy and more afraid as we get older, more closed-minded. And I can't say that age is necessarily good for a human being. Let's be Christian and think about how many people get saved when they're young. How many people get saved when they're old? I've seen one old person get baptized in my life. So that means by the time we get old, it's almost too late. If it's not too late already to change. Anyway, I think about myself standing next to me. And I say, younger me, younger Wyatt, I am now 27, that famous age of rock stars who kill themselves. I think that's whole Kurt Cobain was. If he wasn't, he should have been. And I think I am myself when I'm, I don't know, 19, that's a good age. I'm still full of life and I'm interested in the world and all those things that go on. And I say, oh, these are the lessons that I've learned in the last few years. Let me just help you out. But then maybe they'll look back at me and laugh at me and say, oh, look at what I have become. Oh, wretched me that I have departed from this zeal of youth. Oh, how I have fallen. That mighty tower that I built, that I should repent. And maybe if I talked to myself, I'd realize that I'm not so wise. Yeah, the same. Talk to my older me. Oh, I imagine myself sitting next to me on a stool, as you should be also. Whatever your name is. Yeah, I didn't get your name. What is your name? Ah, I like your name. And tell yourself on that stool, hello, for me. Tell them I said hi. As myself has said to you, hello. I thought it was more interesting to think about myself sitting on the chair beside me, kind of like that image in the mirror, yet 10 years older. What kind of life would I have in 10 years? Would I be more tame, more timid, more austere? I don't know. It's not exactly an Elysian moment, but there's definitely more wrinkles in my face. My skin color is aged, along with the texture. Maybe I lean forward a little bit more the same size, not being any bigger. Maybe my hair is the same, but my eyes look tired. But maybe I'm more content, too. It's easier to imagine this thing when you're spinning and spinning. I'm going to turn in place and spin to the left. But as I turn, the world seems to be standing still because I'm spinning. Whee! Now I'll turn back the other way. Trying to undo. Oh, you know what? I just got deja vu really bad. I stood on this corner and had deja vu here before. Deja vu, deja vu. How do you do? Nice to meet you. And that's about it. So maybe I should say do. So say goodbye to your friend, because you'll meet him eventually when you become him. If you're talking to the older, and it's not good to live in the past with your younger self. And tell the younger that, well, this is what it is. Love it or leave it, as they say. So, I'm going to go have myself a brew, Starbucks, read the paper, think about everything I said to you. Actually, I'm just going to daze. I'm just kind of hope this dizziness goes away. And I'm trying to understand which way the purple line is going now that they've introduced the pink line. Because it was going down both sides of the loop. And I waited an extra 10 minutes to go around that loop. But you know what? I got a new perspective, new point of view. There's a Reliant K song called Balloon Ride. Not that I like it. I don't like it, actually. But the whole point of the song is he got a new perspective on life because he went up in the air and looked down. And you should get a new perspective somehow or another and not worry about it so much. I mean, I'm reading Walden by Henry David Thoreau. I mean, I don't know why they love him so much in literature and high school and college and whatnot, because he's a very arrogant, foolish man. He's 30 years old when he writes this, and his preference of life is to go live in simplicity, which I admire. But his whole attitude about it's very arrogant. It's almost glamorizing the tribal people who just have no order, as they do in Africa, in many of the places. Not that Africa is all bad. It's a beautiful place. I haven't been there, and only have had biased views of it. Maybe I'll go there someday, before I get too old and afraid and unable to change, you know, those kind of things go. So, like you, and me, and the younger me, and the younger you, and the elder me, and the elder you, Wyatt the Elder. It's not so bad, since Wyatt the Younger is a has-been. And I still have a migraine, but I feel like I'm coming back to my senses. And I enjoy doing these podcasts just because it lays a little bit of myself out there. Not that I have any mental problems that I'm aware of. But if I did, this is what it would be like. But then again, if I were crazy, as the cliche goes, I wouldn't admit it. Because no one who is crazy accepts it. Everyone who's crazy is denial about it. So I'm done talking slow and I have to go home now. Havenofbliss.com. Click on podcast. Or go on your iTunes and add me. www.podcast. Nope. I always screw it up. www.havenofbliss.com/podcast. Add that into your stream URL inside of iTunes, and you're all set. Or just go visit the website, havenofbliss.com. I'm Wyatt Houts. That's all, folks. Well, I decided to walk it off, and I feel a little bit better now. It's just so overloaded that nothing like a little spinner on the block to cheer me up. I did walk through Old Town, and I guess it's a nice little tour of the north side. You walk down the strip, and from the... While you enjoy the music for a second. Anyways, you get off the L at Cedric, and you can walk down to Wells Street. There's a few restaurants there to kind of warm it up, and if you turn right on Wells and head south, you'll go through the Old Town area. There's a lot of restaurants, and people are out walking around, enjoying their date, and sitting on the sidewalk having dinner. Nice and casual. It's, you know, people that live in the area. I saw the pastor of my church out having pasta and a glass of wine with some woman. And we ran into someone from work on the way by just because, you know, there are so many people in this town, but the truth is there's only a few spots where people really hang out. So if you walk down Wells Street, you'll kind of get the grunt of it. And then maybe skip over once you get to Schiller and go one block towards the water, which is east, and then turn right on LaSalle. And if you walk right along the edge of LaSalle, it's beautiful little canopy of trees. And you go over the sidewalk and you can see a long ways, and people are walking their little dogs, and there's fireflies out on the path, and the street's a little bit wider, but there's a lot of trees everywhere, and there's not as many cars, so it's a nice stroll until you get to the Division and turn left and keep continuing east along Division. Then you get a little taste of like the real Chicago. A lot of people live on LaSalle and Dearborn Street, and there are, a lot of them are like Deltas, if you read Brave New World like I just did. And you can see all the really cheap bars and whatnot. So there's a lot of really cheesy ones like the Leg Room and one that looks like a little hut, and there's Mothers too and stuff like that, where you can see where all those cheesy people are out trying to buy drinks. Most of those people are like the really rowdy drunks, and that goes until 3 or 4 in the morning every night. And that's where you see all the girls that are really dressed with the clothes that are for kids, and because they're so tight and small, and all the guys are out smoking reefer and stuff, but it'll be really packed out. But if you turn right when you get to State Street, that's like the beginning of Rush Street, and continue south on Rush Street for a walking tour, you'll come up to where all the really rich people are, eating at the Tavern on Rush, or Hugo's Frog Bar, or Gibson's Steakhouse, P.S. Chicago's for music, or Jilly's Piano Bar. The back room has probably about the best jazz in the city that I've seen. It's also probably $50 to go in there and listen after you pay for everything. But it's just nice to sit at the fountain and watch the people and see the Bentleys and the Ferraris parked along the way. I mean, I don't think, you know, I wonder how many people who go down to the Rush area actually live there. Just because all the houses where you live in right around Rush Street are really not too expensive to the west. They're all like little ghetto hotels that have been converted into apartments. So every one of these people are in like a 10-foot by 10-foot square and paying $800 a month for them, for studios. And then you have the people that are really rich with all their cars. But I tell you what, Gold Coast, the people who are really wealthy, they live north of Division. And they also live east of Rush Street and all the way up east of State. That's where, like, where all the expensive condos are, and it's really quiet because no one actually goes outside. Because really rich people keep to themselves, and they hate everyone else, and they tend to be really whiny. But if you go down the Rush Street, I go sit by the fountain, and everyone's really beautiful and really wealthy and really done up. Or there's a few people sitting around talking about how they wish they lived here, how they wish they lived in Chicago. How, you know, that's their plan. They're going to come move and hang out here for a while because it's this little idealized place where everyone's happy and well-to-do and wealthy, and they feel like if they come and they sit there, then they also will be, you know, wealthy and well-to-do too, as if that's the ideal sort of life. Like, that was the life for me kind of thing. It's really kind of sad, though, and it's just a bunch of really expensive white people food, you know. Maybe a little bit of seafood or things that people eat that are really bland, and you have to pay $40 a plate to have it, and $10 for a green leaf salad, which costs a quarter, just so that you can sit and act like you're someone special. I mean, it's really superficial, and it's all about, like, all the guys are really wealthy with expensive cars and nice suits, and the girls are tall and beautiful and wearing necklaces and talking about really airheaded things about being like celebrities, and they kind of pretend to be philosophers and say, oh, let's just watch the people. Don't you love to just people watch? And really all they're doing is they're fascinated by the wealth and the greed of things and stuff. So it is interesting to go sit by the fountain and watch those things going on around you. Especially it's closer to where I live. I also have a small little rinky-dink studio downtown. I mean, I'm reading Walden, so I don't really mind minimalism. I mean, I could probably have dinners over there once a week or something, and it wouldn't even affect me, but it's just, it's more interesting to watch other people enjoy it, I guess, from the backdrop. Not that I want to be in Walden Pond or want to live, or I want to build me either, but. So I sat over there by the fountain and, just enjoyed it for a little while, listened to the water, and watched the people strut by in this little well-to-do area. But so you got all these people from, you know, the wealthiest parts of the town come there to show off. So if you want to see the nightlife and things, that's a good time to go at night. And then I walked back down Maple where I live. There's a little Greek festival going on at the Greek church. And there's still people out walking their dogs and things. And, you know, I'm going home to sleep because I've been working too much. But I recommend that. You know, take a little walk. Start in Old Town. Maybe up by the Second City. Walk down Old Town. Walk down LaSalle. And skip over to Rush Street when it gets dark. It might be a nice date, you know. And there's cabs everywhere if you get tired. It's safe at night. See old ladies walking around it, you can do it too. Just to get a taste of it. And, that's about it for my walking tour. I'm going home. I have to go. Talk to you later.
Doesn't it bother you that you have to get up in the morning and you have to put on a bunch of pieces of flair? You know, the Nazis had pieces of flair that they made the Jews wear.